This is the last sermon I get to preach in quite a while. It's an honor. It's a real honor. There's a specific dynamic, spiritual dynamic, that has become clearer to me the last while, and that has actually been helped me to put my finger on something that I haven't been able to put my finger on as clearly in the past. Something that has always been almost like it's been bothering me, but I couldn't put my finger on it. And I just want to bring that to you today as the Rhema word, that's a part of the word that I will share. And I trust that that dynamic would also open up our eyes to some of the realities in our daily life. Continuing from last week, let's stand still on Luke 9, verse 23. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. This is Jesus himself that we are following as followers of Christ. This is Christ we're following. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross daily, and follow me. Father, I pray in Jesus' name against any distraction in any heart, and I call every spirit to attention to receive your word. Empower me, Holy Spirit, to preach it as it should be in Jesus' name. Amen. Whoever, it's open for all. He desires everyone to come to the knowledge of truth. It is open for everyone. Whoever wants to be my disciple, whoever, it's open for you. There's no one that should stand at the back and say, but this is not for me. And cultural Christianity and whatever whatever you see as normal Christianity is probably not at all what Jesus meant when he said, come and follow me. And you somehow think that radical way of living that Jesus spoke about is only for some, but yet the rest also call themselves Christians, but they don't see themselves as part. But Jesus is calling everyone and saying, whoever, so anyone that would want to be a Christian, whoever, so that's me and you and anyone standing at the back. It's for all. Whoever. Whoever wants. Teleo. Desires. The Greek reads, whoever desires to come after me. That's how the Greek reads. Whoever desires to come after me. Whoever wants to be my disciple. Whoever desires to be my disciple. Disciple is someone that comes after you. It's your follower. It's a disciple that does what you do, that learns from you and do what you do. Whoever wants to be, there is a desire that is holy, that is pure, and it's a desire to want to be his disciple. That's a holy desire. We're going to speak about desires a lot today. It's a holy desire that you should actively and can actively pursue. You know what? There are very few of those. There are very few holy desires that you should actively pursue. We'll speak about that about a bit later too. But to desire, to want to be a disciple of Jesus is a God-given desire that the Holy Spirit birthed inside of you when you become born again. You can't want that in your flesh. Are you with me? It's a beautiful holy desire to want to be a disciple. A disciple. A disciple. A follower of Christ. One who comes after Jesus. It is the word Christian wasn't yet coined then it was coined later, but it's the same thing. A Christian is a follower of Christ. It's a follower of Christ, someone who comes after him, a disciple of Jesus Christ. It's this thing he's speaking about here. So to be whoever wants to be a Christian, you can read in there. Whoever wants to be a Christian must learn from and imitate. Must learn from and imitate. Whoever wants to, that's what you want then. That the holy desire is to learn from, imitate, do what he does. That's what it means. It's not, this is not higher grade Christianity. This is baseline Christianity. To be a Christian is to be a follower of Christ. It's to learn from him, to walk like he walked, to walk like he would call you to walk. That's it. It's very simple. Whoever would desire that. Whoever wants to be a Christian must. Jesus can say must because Jesus is Lord. He can say must. We can't often say must to anyone. If they work for you and it's in their job description, you say you must get this out by tomorrow, then I guess they must. But there's no eternal consequences. There might just be uncomfortable future consequences if you don't do what you must. But Jesus can say the ultimate must because he is Lord. That is offensive to the soul. The soul says, you can't say must to me. Don't say must. Jesus says must. He can. He's Lord. Must what? It also indicates a prerequisite. Okay? Whoever wants to, must. Whoever wants to come to my birthday party must come to my house. So if you don't come to my house, you won't be at my birthday party. There is a prerequisite to be at my birthday party. Whoever wants to come to my birthday party must bring me a gift, so then you can't come to the birthday party without a gift. I'll be in Luxembourg on my birthday. You can come with a gift if you want. Ronald bought me these new shoes for my birthday. Isn't that nice? Yeah, I think it's really nice. There's a prerequisite to being a Christian. To deny themselves. Take up their cross and follow me. A few things. To deny yourself. To deny yourself. To deny yourself is the opposite of granting yourself what you want. What you want. Are you with me? To deny yourself is opposite to granting yourself what you want. Oh, but that's not that's complex, because isn't it it's a good one to want to be a disciple of Jesus. That's a good one. So I want that. I'm allowed to want that. Okay. So how can I deny myself? Well, it does mean that longing for things that you want to have soothe your soul must all be rejected, whether they seem beautiful or whether they seem sinful or whatever. You cannot claim anything for the pleasure or comfort of your soul. You can't do that. But you can desire after things that God desires. But don't confuse the two. But surely God desires that I, but actually it's you desire that you, and you think God might desire that too. No. Whatever that is, like we said last time, whether a child, like Nita said, God said, worship me, follow me, trust me. That's what you do. You don't say, I must have a child. God said, you must deny yourself and follow me. It's to not confuse those two things. where you say, surely God wants me to have what I want. No, actually, He doesn't, because that would be so bad for you. Deny yourself. I will not have what I want. Are you willing to say that? Do you want some things? Are you willing to say to them, I deny you? And deny yourself them? Are you willing to say that? It's the prerequisite of being a Christian. And I don't want you to ever tell me that I didn't tell you. And you can't stand in front of Jesus one day and say, I was a Christian. He said, no, but you rejected the very prerequisite. He said, you're Lord and Savior, but I was never Lord. You say to me, Lord, Lord, but you don't do what I tell you. Must deny themselves. Now, who has had worship experiences with God where you experience God and you sing things like we just sang and your spirit cries out towards the denial of yourself and you absolutely somehow long for it and you scream it out to God? Who has done that? I think all of you have. Well, why didn't you raise your hand when I asked and you have? Raise your hand if you have. If you've ever told God that. You raise your hand if someone asks you and you have done it. Okay. So I know most of you have done that. That's the truth that lives inside of you. You said you want to do that. You somehow know in your spirit that that's what you should do. But when you walk out and you start pleasing yourself, then you lose sight of that. And you become so confused that you start living a life that makes no sense. Not to the world, not to God, and not to yourself. Because in your deepest you know that you should give all to Jesus. But then walking out of the door, you immediately are told by Christians, friends, family, and the media that you shouldn't, and then you don't. And then it's a horrible state to live in. But many Christians I know not willing to say, I'll deny myself. And when the opportunity comes to do something you really want, if someone comes and says, I've always wanted to do, would you do this with me? And say, I've always wanted to do that. Of course, yes, I'm in. And you enter. You just decide, I've always wanted to, yes. Now I'm in. I will do this. I make a decision because of what I've always wanted, of what I've desired. Apart from wanting to be a follower of Christ, that thing I've always wanted, I've always desired, so I will have it. That's completely opposite to what it means to being a Christian and to deny yourself. Deny yourself means to put yourself at neutral, zero. I shall not have what I want. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want that. Deny yourself. Next thing is take up your cross. So now Jesus is going one step further. He's not saying, let it all go. He's saying, if you want to follow me, you have to be willing to die very uncomfortable deaths. And I don't mean that just emotionally, like sobbing on your pillow. No, even physically. Even to be sawn in two, like you read in Hebrews 11, or be crucified upside down, like Peter. Or to be, as some traditions say, like John, who was boiled alive and survived, apparently. Or many others. It's saying that the prerequisite here is that you have to pick up the instrument of death, which is prophetic, because he hasn't yet gone to the cross when saying this. But they know what that means. It's a horrible thing that happens to people. It's the worst way you could die. Saying, not just denying yourself and saying, okay, I'll let go of some of the things I wanted and I'll follow. No, no, no. Be willing to even, in your following of him, suffer greatly. So you're going into the red now. You're saying, I'm willing to go into the red now. Are you hearing me? And then comes daily. And there's a great key. Because most of you, like you just said, maybe today before God, you have done this. You have said, I give you my all. You can have it all. I surrender all. I will follow you. And you screamed it out from your heart and you meant it. And if God in that moment would speak to you and say, let's do X, Y, or Z that would cause you something uncomfortable, you'd be rightly positioned to say yes, wouldn't you? If an angel then after you just said, oh God, all to you, and an angel comes stand in front of you and say, we are going to go and plant a church in Europe, then you'll say, oh yes, Lord. You're positioned right in that moment. But after 2 weeks of not doing it daily, you're not. And after 2 weeks, a friend comes to you and say, ooh, I want to go see the Northern Lights. Don't you? And you say, yes. That's the devil himself. Your Christian friend standing in front of you as Satan himself saying, don't you want to go see the Northern Lights? Say, yes. Oh, let's start saving for it. Okay. Because you didn't do it daily. Because if you would have stood before him and said, all to you, Jesus, I'll suffer and die. I'll preach the gospel, die and be forgotten as long as you get the glory. I've heard you sing it. And you've meant it from your spirit. In that moment, if someone would come to you and said, don't you want to save up a lot of money and come and see the Northern Lights? You'd be, I don't know why I'm slightly skeptical about that. So it needs to happen regularly. This has to happen regularly. You regularly have to remind yourself. Because you know this. You sign up for these things. What Mila says when she says it's going to be hard. Yes, if you remind yourself every 3 months, it's really hard. Because then you have to dial from the front all over again. But if you just do it daily, the kind of traction you build in the spirit after a few years is just phenomenal. And then you start not desiring anything else but just the kingdom of God and of God himself. And then everything is different. The way you live, the way you experience things is different. Every time you think about what you really want to please your soul, you are most likely in an active conversation with Satan. And telling yourself that is what I really want and that is really the truth inside of me is active rebellion against God. Because there's a deeper reality in your spirit that cries out for the things of God. So if you say, well, if I'm honest with myself, I really, truly, deeply want X, then you're actively in rebellion against God, saying no to the thing that's lying deeper in you. That's, I want to live a crucified life and see him glorified. And you're choosing the thing in your soul that's standing against that, and you're declaring it as truth over yourself. That's rebellion as the sin of witchcraft. And it brings witchcraft into your life when you do it. 1 Samuel 15:23. You bring witchcraft over your life if you declare the truths in your soul to be the truths in your life rather than the depths in the spirit, which is the real truths through Christ Jesus that's been made alive in you when you got born again. You don't choose those things. You don't say, well, to be honest, that's what I really want, as if that is somehow then the way you know how to live, the way you should know how to live is, well, just experience what you really need. From the beginning, in the beginning, Satan came to Eve. Genesis 3, 5 to 6, he said, you can have the incommunicable attributes of God. You can have the things of God that God doesn't share with humans. That's why God, he doesn't want you to eat of that fruit, because you want that. You want to have the things of God that God doesn't share with humans. You get that if you eat the fruit. And so she saw that it's good for food. And that it's pleasing to the eye. And that it's desirable to gain wisdom. She really wanted that. That's what Satan told her. He spoke to the surface level things. And he made her blurry on the realities of God. And she ate and everything happened from there. Jesus showed us how to not do this. When he was tempted, when after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, it says he was hungry. He was hungry. So he was real human, 100% man, 100% God. He was hungry after fasting 40 days. What do you really want when you fasted 40 days? It's food. So the devil comes to him with these three temptations. I'm not going to preach about it. I'm just running through this. He tempted him. He knew he would lose. I mean, surely he knew. But he had to try. The devil had to give his best shot. So he tempted him and he said, well, if you're the Son of God, then you can make these stones turn into bread, can't you? You can do that and have food. But Jesus said, no. I reject that which you stir, the desire which is very real in me. For a much deeper desire that I will not live by bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God. He rejects that. The next thing he says, well, jump from the temple so that everyone can see, and ask the angels to come, and they'll see, wow, this man jumped from the temple. The angels come and they catch him, and you will be exalted in glory. He tempts him with glory. He tempts him with glory. Said, wouldn't that be what you want? Ultimate glory? You are the Son of God, right? So you should receive all the glory. You should, really. Don't you desire that? Jesus said, no. He tempted him after that and said, I will give you the kingdom. The whole world's in the sway of the wicked one. The devil's got control over a lot of things. He says to Jesus, I'll give it all to you if you'd fall down and worship me. Don't you desire that? Don't you desire all power? Because he's the Son of God, so surely maybe in his flesh he's thinking, well, I do desire to have it because that's actually mine. So maybe I can just have it now. But of course, Jesus doesn't think like that because he's fully God, and he can't sin, so the devil is giving his best shot, seeing if he can somehow get in there. And Jesus says no to the desires of the flesh and to glory and to power, because the devil's saying, don't you really desire that? And aren't those things good things to desire for God himself to be glorified? And Jesus rejects it because Satan comes to him and says, don't you desire that? Don't you want it? And it's good things that God should have, yet he rejects it. And he chooses the way of suffering. The same thing happens. You need to stay with me this morning. You need to stay with me this morning. The same thing happens in Matthew 16, 21 to 23. Jesus told his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things and be killed, and be raised again on the third day. This first time he told this to them. And then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, said, far be it from you, Lord. This shall never happen to you. But he turned to Peter and said, get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you're setting your mind on things of God, not on things of God, but on the things of man. Peter, in pseudo love for Jesus, comes to him, and he knows, like the devil knows, Jesus is filled with agony and fear for the cross. We know that. He cried tears of blood. It was not an easy thought for Jesus to have to know that he's going to do that. So his best friend, one of his best friends, coming to him and saying, not you, surely not you, Lord. That'll never happen to you. That's speaking to that thing, that desire in the soul to not have that. And Jesus recognizes it as the devil himself and says, get behind me, Satan. Don't tempt me on my deepest desires in my soul. I will choose what is deeper than that, what is the eternal truth about who I am and what I'm called for. Don't be fooled by what hides deep in your soul. And don't choose it either. It's worse than you think. If you choose it, it's the devil himself. You know what I found recently? The world knows this. And they love it. And they embrace it. They've recently made a series about it. The series is called Lucifer. You know what Lucifer does? You know what Lucifer does? Lucifer does this.
I got it. The name, the whole Lucifer thing, and desires like your superpower.
It's more like a gift from God, really.
Hello? So, tell me, what is it that you truly desire?
What do you desire? What is it you desire?
Tell me, my little pony boy, what is it you desire?
What do you desire to do with the rest of your time on Earth?
Surely there must be something that you desire.
Which one do you desire?
Did you desire?
I killed him.
Oh.
What is it you desire?
What do you desire? What is it your badass kicking self truly desires?
What is it you all desire?
Get rich.
Instagram model.
Make people feel good.
I just want to be alone,
my
man.
My boss.
Play video games.
My father's love.
Yeah, get rich.
Right, then what do you desire?
And what is it you desire?
Quickly now. What is it you desire?
What did you desire?
What do you desire?
Oh, look, I know the puddings are good, but there must be more that you all desire. I mean, come on, Pete. I know desserts aren't the only thing that tickle your fancy, are they?
I do want to watch it all burn.
Right. Then fire away. Go, 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 go.
Tell me, what is it you really desire? What more could you possibly desire?
Why did you really desire Sam's death?
I want the miracle of birth.
Trying to solve a murder here, love, but I'm sure you can find someone to help you with that.
Oh, come on, gorgeous. You tell me your most dangerous desire.
Cheeseburger.
Cheeseburger? Really?
What do you desire more than anything else in this life?
This is it? This is your big trick?
Is kicking my ass what you truly desire?
What is it that you desire?
What did you desire?
So tell me, what did you desire?
Kev, tell me. What is it that you truly desire?
You came here driven by some kind of desire, didn't you?
No.
And what is it you truly desire?
What is it you desire?
What is it that you truly desire?
Poop.
Oh. So what is it you truly desire now?
Lucifer, what the hell are you doing? You know that stuff doesn't work on me.
Right. Yes, no, of course, I was joking. Right.
That's not funny at all. That's just the devil. And he's been parading so many of you. And I've been in so many conversations with so many Christians where they've tried, unknowingly trying to tempt me into that exact thing. And for years, I've been uncomfortable in situations where people would kind of pressure me into having to do certain things that they really want to do. And I just don't know why. I just didn't want to do it. And I couldn't put a theology to it until now. And next time I might tell you to get behind me, Satan. I hope this drives a disgust in your heart for harboring your desires. And a will to crucify every one of them as you find them. Because that's happening in me now. I'm saying, Lord, what's in there? this is how, this somehow feels new to me. I want you to show me. And I want to crucify every one of those demonic things that I'm still sometimes chasing after. So what are the desires that we then can have? Because God made us to desire certain things, and that causes us to chase them. That's how we were made. So there are those desires that is from God that we should chase down, and that is alive inside of you, in your innermost being. The desires of the new man that reflects the desires of God. And it's already in you. You just have to decide to put off the old self and put on the new self. And remember not to confuse the things that you say, well, this is such a beautiful thing, surely it must also be God's desire that I can. No. No. You know what that's called? 1 Samuel 15:22. That's called the sin of presumption. Surely God wants this thing for me. It says presumption is as iniquity and rebellion as witchcraft. Surely God would want this. No. That's one of the worst sins you can do, to say because you think something's beautiful that surely God wants it for you. No. What it says about what you're busy with in that moment is that you're definitely not busy denying yourself. You're busy finding a way to get what you want. That's what you're doing. Are you denying yourself if you have that argument in your head? If you even entertain the argument? No. By default, you're not denying yourself. You, by default, are going for what would be really satisfying. So what are the desires? I'm just going to run through a few of them. Behold, this is God. Behold, you desire truth in the innermost being, and in the hidden part you make no wisdom. He desires truth in the innermost being. Not to be confused with what is in the soul and call that truth, but the innermost being. To stick to that truth. It's what God desires. We should desire that also. To let go of this rubbish. I desire, God says, mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. To know God and to extend His mercy, that's something to desire. That someone would receive the mercy of God and know God, that's something to desire. That's beautiful, and it's got nothing to do with you. But oh, it will bless you. If you know the love of God, you would hear it all through this message. 1 Timothy 2, verse 3 to 4, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth. Desire of God for people to be saved. Do you desire that or to go and see the northern lights? What do you desire? I know you desire both, because if someone gets saved, if someone would come to the front today and say, I accept Christ is my Lord and Savior, and walk away from atheism, your spirit cries out, hallelujah! You can't help it. That's what you really desire. Don't accept the stickers that's put on it to just dampen that, so that you don't pursue that, but you pursue your trip to the Northern Lights. That's witchcraft. That's rebellion against God in you. He desires all men to be saved. And then the Apostle Paul, he desires to know Christ. God desires that too. We've seen earlier that the knowledge of God. I want to know Christ, the power of His resurrection, the participation in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death. Paul desires to die with Christ. You too. You do too. You sang it this morning, and you really meant it. You should declare it more. you should embrace it more when you walk out of here too, because that's the reality. We're going to not stick the realities of the soul on and declare them to be the truth. To know him is a pure desire. His desire to depart and be with Christ. Oh, he's got a desire for one day. Maranatha. That's a holy desire. To know God, to make him known, to glorify him. Those are pure desires. It's got nothing to do with you, everything to do with God. The Christians should not pursue any desire that aims to please their own soul unless where the soul has learned to adopt the desires of God. There comes a glimmer of hope for you. Because after being with God a lot, you start to really desire the things he does, and they start creeping into your soul. And they overtake your soul, and then your soul longs for the same things as what God longs for, and through the Spirit of God that lives in you. And then you start living from a place where you actively, in your emotions, long for the same things as God does, the things that's birthed in your spirit. Then the wheels start to turn. And for many of you, that has happened to a great extent. We just have to throw off a few weights so that that wheel can turn fully and run smoothly. Because then the soul is rejoicing because it is getting what it really wants. And that's what God has ordained for it for all eternity. Or where God has clearly given a certain gift to enjoy. God is the giver of gifts. But we don't take gifts. We receive gifts. We don't claim gifts. We receive gifts. We deny ourselves, ready to die. And if God then gives you a gift, you fall on your knees and say, can't believe it. You're so, this is amazing. He does that. Many of you would say and look at my life and say, yes, but you've got such a nice life. You've got so many nice things in your life. Surely, like, your life doesn't look like you're just crucifying yourself and denying yourself the whole time. Well, what do you think happens if you deny yourself and you're ready to die and you position yourself alongside a God who says that if you follow me, I lead you beside still waters and green pastures and give you rest for your soul. And in my presence, there's fullness of joy. And at my right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Will the one who follow him not have pleasures forevermore? Will you not have a lot of things that would look so enviable to the world? They'll see, wow, a life. But many of you also would look at the dynamics of the way that I live and say, I don't want that. I don't want that. There are pleasures forevermore with him. He gives. Over the years, I've been trying to be deliberate in testifying about those things so that you can see the dynamic of how we receive things from God and the dynamic of how we lay down ourselves the whole time and how beautiful this life is if we live it out with him. You see, the lie that Lucifer is bringing to you is that as you pursue that desire, you'll have what you really want. But the thief only comes to steal and kill and destroy. And when you see that those video clips, you know the things he's going for is going to destroy that poor person. You know it. Yes, the thief only comes to steal and kill and destroy. But why did Jesus come? That you may have life and have it abundantly. But you must embrace death for that. You must. Don't stand in the middle. The denial and picking up of your denial of self and picking up of your cross is the only way towards abundant life. So, what remains for us to do with our lives is exactly the conclusion that Jesus came to at the end of his ministry. Because then you say, okay, so if I shouldn't chase all these things that I really want in my life, then what should I do with my life? What should I then do with my life? And that is where the first desire that Jesus speaks about in Luke 9:23, where that's the desire that remains in this life, is the desire to be a disciple. That's the desire we have in this life that remains. And that encapsulates all the other beautiful desires that I spoke about, is the desire to be a disciple. Now, as I said last week, to be a disciple means to be a disciple maker, because a disciple is the imitator of the one that is discipling. And what? So you must do what your disciple maker does. And what does the disciple maker do? He made disciples. That's what Jesus did. So a disciple, per definition, is someone that is being discipled to be a disciple maker. That's that. So you're engaged in disciple making. And many of you need to break all of your boxes when it comes to disciple making, and all of the little books and all of the things that you've done. That all those things are part of discipleship. But if you see discipleship as that, you miss it. But it's part of it. But discipleship is the thing that then remains. So pursue that. Pursue knowing Him, getting to know Him, becoming like Him, and making Him known. That's it. Pursue discipleship. What you should then do is to clear your calendar right now when you walk out of here, all the things that is in there, because you wanted them in there. I really mean that. And you should stop doing nice things over weekends immediately. You can't even think about doing that. You must stop watching series in the evenings, because that means you're not going to be able to wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning to have your time with Jesus, because you're too tired and you didn't sleep well with all of the blue lights in your eyes. And you need to start to make disciples, and you'll find that there's more joy in life in that than all the other things that you thought that you so wanted to do. And then you'll find Jesus in those things. And you'll find Him in those people that you're walking with. You'll find them in the things that you then do, and you'll find it to be so much more rich. Because if you go away with friends for a weekend because you really wanted to, then you can be disappointed so easily. Because you really wanted something from it, but you didn't get what you really want, or maybe you did get what you want. But what if you just sought to make disciples, and somehow you found God leading you to take your friends away for the weekend? The thing looks the same, but the thing is radically different. It's a difference between following Jesus and following Satan himself. That's the difference. And if you say, well, I want to have a good time with my friends, and I'll also try to do whatever Jesus wants to do, well, then Jesus is dead second. And you're all about not denying yourself. Jesus doesn't inhabit those places. He's the only aim, not the add-on. So discipleship remains, and it was His last words to His disciples after everything, His final commandment. He said, now go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. The life of His followers from that moment, was given to what? Defining what it means to make disciples of all nations. And that's the same for each and every one of you. That's why you exist. And God will lead you in specific places and jobs and ways and countries and anything, as long as you're just willing to do anything. Oh, I'll do anything for you, God, but I'm not going to go to a stupid place like Afghanistan. I'll do anything for you in Cape Town. That's not funny. That's not, you can't argue with God like that. That's rebellion. That's witchcraft. You don't do that. Because that means you are rejecting the very premise on which you came to Christ, that I would follow you. I've put a little paper on your seat. It's something that I worked on that thing for about 2 years when I first started ministry. I'm not going to go into all that because the service is over now. If you really, really desire something, I've seen people when they really, really desire something, you don't need to tell them anything about it. They'll figure out how to do that thing. They really, really start to desire trail running, which I think is one of the biggest idols that we have, exercise in general. They know everything about it in 2 weeks. They know how to find info. They know how to do it. They know what to eat and how to run and what shoes to get. If you really desire something, but then you tell people to make disciples and say, I don't know when to do it. I don't have the time. I don't know what it means. Oh, I don't know where to find someone. I don't know what to do. All that really highlights is that you don't really want to do that. You really don't. If you would, you would want to know. So that's the challenge I'm leaving with you, is what are you going to do with this? Are you going to do it or not? You've got the Holy Spirit who will teach you all things, and you've got the Word of God that can teach you all things. And I've even made a nice page, which I didn't have to do, and you don't need that. But it can just help you. If you would study every single scripture that's mentioned there deeply, and if you would study everything that's on that document, because every word I worked on a lot to get those things right, and there's a lot of effort in that document. It's not perfect, and it's not the Bible. But that can help you. But, I mean, you don't have to have something like that, or now have to me to explain it for you for however many hours before you then go away not doing it. So, I know this is harsh, and I know I've been harsh the last few weeks. But I believe that if you would see it clearly, then you would see the love of God all over it, and you would know that walking on the narrow way is just different. Father, I don't really know how to end this. But I'm grateful for the fact that you've given us life, eternal life. I'm grateful for the fact that you've called us to walk with you on an adventure of a life given to your glory. I pray that you would highlight to us every place where Satan has been asking us what we really want and contrasting our lives to you and what you want. I pray that you would show it to us and to me, to all of us, Lord, because we want to radically throw off all those things, and we want to make disciples of all nations, not loving our lives to death. Help us, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to close the service there because we've run over time. May the Holy Spirit minister to you in this week. May you find him and this invitation in all this. God bless you.